I am officially declaring a national emergency.
Unprecedented times call for unprecedented actions.
Starting tomorrow, NBA play is suspended.
NCAA has canceled the men's and women's basketball tournaments.
Welcome to Managing the Crisis, brought to you by Core Image Studio.
The number of Americans filing claims for unemployment benefits has hit a record high.
There are fears that the Dow will drop and drop quickly.
The media giants are under pressure from a dramatic pullback in ad spending.
Now here's your host, the president of Barrett Sports Media, Jason Barrett.
Greetings and thanks for checking out the Managing the Crisis podcast presented by Core Image Studio. I am Jason Barrett, and this is the 15th episode since we kicked off this digital audio adventure in early April. If you haven't listened before, our focus on this podcast is to examine how executives, managers, owners, and hosts are navigating through the murky waters in the media industry caused by the global pandemic. I've been fortunate enough to have on a variety of individuals from all different backgrounds in the business. You can find prior episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or on our website, BarrettSportsMedia.com. Just go to the site, look up top at the menu. You're going to see a title for BSM Podcasts. Click on that tab and you'll see a section for this very program. It's that easy. Before I jump ahead to today's conversation, if you or someone you know is in a position of influence in the media industry and you're interested in appearing on a future episode, reach out by email to jbarrett@sportsradiopd.com. I do have a few things in the works for upcoming episodes, so I can't promise I'll get to everyone, but I'm always happy to review suggestions when they come in. As far as today's conversation is concerned, I'm excited to catch up with an industry friend and a gentleman who's had a storied programming career, but has recently begun making the transition to market manager in the city of Chicago. That gentleman is Mike Thomas, who previously built the powerhouse in Boston known as 98.5 The Sports Hub. What makes Mike's story fascinating is that he made the move to Chicago to lead ESPN 1000 at the start of 2020, but literally 2.5 months into his tenure, this pandemic struck, and it's caused all sorts of chaos for the media industry. Mike, before I take you down the road of business and we relive some of the painful moments of the past few months, I want to start off with something positive and topical, which had a lot of people excited. The Last Dance was a huge hit, as you know, for ESPN. Chicago was clearly the focal point of that story, since it revolved around Michael Jordan and those tremendous Chicago Bulls teams of the 1990s. What did you personally think of the series, and how did your station capitalize on it?
It was huge for us, and we so desperately needed it right now. We needed something to get excited about. And the fact that ESPN moved this up and started it several weeks earlier than what it was supposed to happen, it was just great that, Jason Hare, the director, was able to get those final two episodes completed. And, when it started, when we saw episodes 1 and 2, he was still editing episodes 9 and 10, which is unbelievable to
right.
think about, like they started this major docuseries on ESPN that was setting records for people viewing it. And the final two episodes weren't even done yet.
Right. It'd be like promoting, we've got the brand new Toucher and Rich morning show coming on the Sports Hub. We haven't signed them to contracts yet. That should be done in the next 4 weeks. But don't worry,
right.
They'll be there.
Right. But here's a little example of what they're going to sound like. Yeah. Yeah.
From a programming standpoint, I know you guys rebranded Mondays, right? What else did your guys do to really take advantage and grab hold of the moment?
Well, we were very fortunate to have a nice partnership with Coors Light for all of our Last Dance coverage that we had. And that's, more than just on air. I mean, we know that everybody's at home and listening patterns are different and everything is upside down right now. And so we really put a push on our Twitch channel, ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch, and we've seen the followers on that channel grow tremendously. We have our shows on Twitch 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, our local shows, and then we also did little previews every Sunday night. So for the past 5 Sundays, we took our 5 marquee hosts David Kaplan, Carmen DeFalco, John Yurkovic, and Tom Waddle and Mark Silverman. And they all hosted one night each of doing a little preview of what was coming up. But also, it kind of turned into like an MTV Cribs, where they were all in their basements, and, you know, or wherever their man room was, and they're going through all their Bulls memorabilia from that time period and all their other sports memorabilia. And, you know, the glory of Twitch is the chat, and everybody was, you know, chiming in going, hey, you know, who's that bat signed by, and where is that pass from, and meaning like an all access pass, and it just was, it was really cool. And, you know, they all had a ice cold, the Mountains Are Blue Coors Light in their hand, which was great. And our partners at Coors Light loved it. And so we did stuff like that too. And then, you know, of course, every Monday, as you mentioned, we rebranded as Last Dance Mondays. And then, you know, the list of guests that we had on the past 5 weeks is just, it's unbelievable. The great job that all the producers and Randy Merkin, the assistant PD, and everybody else did getting some of these names on.
You had a lot of those former Bulls on, former Cavs, everybody who was essentially anybody during those heydays outside of Michael Jordan seemed to be on the radio station. And I talked to PDs and I talked to producers and hosts, and I don't know if you've seen this as the length of time you've put into the business, but it feels today that there is not as many people who love interviews as probably we did when we were coming up. I still think they're incredibly important. I asked Mitch Rosen, your counterpart, on a previous podcast. He thought they were important. Are you a big believer in interviews on radio shows, especially in sports format, or do you think that it's just a matter of The Last Dance was popular, do it now, but, you know, kind of step back a little bit afterwards?
I lean towards what you just said last, that I think in the situation of The Last Dance, you know, to have Isaiah Thomas on, and Horace Grant was on today, the day that, you know, we're doing this, and basically just shit all over Michael Jordan. So, you know, and to have Bob Costas on, and even Carmen Electra. Carmen didn't do much.
Right.
And she came on with us. Charles Barkley. I mean, Charles is a friend of not only Randy Merkin, the assistant PD, but of Waddle and Sylvie. And so he came on with us again and did almost a full hour with us. So I think in this case, the interviews make sense. Overall, I probably lean more towards don't do interviews just to do interviews.
Right. That's fair.
I feel like the fans have the relationship with the hosts, and they want to hear what the take is from the hosts, and to just do one interview after another takes away from that, I feel. And, you know, I think I used this example when we were in New York, when the world was still spinning and we could get together. And I said, you know, it's like going to a rock concert and the lead singer just hands, you know, just points the mic out towards the crowd. Like, you know, here, you sing this song. No, I came to hear you sing the song.
Right.
I don't want to hear Joe Johnson next to me singing the song because he has a terrible voice. I kind of look at it the same way. Like, I want to know what the hosts have to say. That's why I tune in. They're the number one reason that I tune into ESPN Chicago, is I want to hear what Cap and Carm and Yurko and all these guys have to say about what's going on.
I think the other part of it, and this is probably where you split the difference, is there's a different expectation and probably patience on the part of a programmer when it's Charles Barkley, Carmen Electra, Steve Kerr. You know, the hard part is that's my expectation. Like, I don't, no offense to the guys at Bleacher Report, The Athletic, and all the other great publications, but I don't want to hear them on a radio show. I think the host is no different than the guy who's writing. So if you're going to put a guest on and it's going to be Charles Barkley for an hour, that's going to make it sound like a show of record. It's just like what you use the example with the rock concert. When somebody special is brought out by that band on stage, now it becomes an added attraction to the show. But if it's Joe Johnson, as you alluded to him, singing in the crowd, nobody wants that. So it comes down to the quality of who it is, too.
Absolutely. And that's got to be the filter, in my opinion, for interviews. Is this person really going to add something do they really have some information that's better than, you know, especially if it's football? I mean, you know, we have two former NFL players that are on our team here at ESPN Chicago with Yurko and with Waddle. Like, what can somebody, to your point, from the Bleacher Report say that's going to be better insight than two guys that played in the league? You really have to say, okay, are we just doing an interview here to do an interview? And the other thing that I'll say, Jason, is I'm a big believer in callers and letting the fans have a voice on the radio station. And that's no secret. And that's a conversation that I've had here a lot. And we had a guy that called in to Waddle and Sylvie last week. And this is a perfect example of why you let the fans speak. The baseball thing obviously is not done, and they still have to try to negotiate. And it's billionaires versus millionaires as far as the players versus the owners. And this guy calls up, and it's hard for me to even tell this story. He's like, I'm standing in the middle of Walgreens, and I'm seeing how much change I have in my pocket so that I can buy bread and noodles for my family. And these assholes are going to argue about who's going to make what to play baseball.
Yep.
And I mean, it brings tears to your eyes. That just talks about the power of sports, the power of sports radio, to hear somebody like that take his time to call us and be that open about his life. And it turns out he's a painter. And then we had somebody call in. This has a happy ending. Somebody call in and say, I want that guy's phone number. I'm going to hire him to paint my house. And then we, on Twitch later in the chat, we had other people that said, can you please give me that person's phone number? Turns out the guy has several jobs now from going on ESPN Chicago and just being real and saying, I'm trying to find enough change to put food on the table.
That's awesome. Back to the power of radio. You know, it's the ultimate connection platform, and people are paying attention to it, and they want to help. You know, obviously, you and I could talk programming all day, but I've got to pick your brain on a few business things, because forever you've been the programming guru that everybody wants to talk to about programming, but now you're in a new world. You're the market manager, and you're a rookie at it. You step into this role, you have to go to a brand new city, new location, new staff, new competitive battle. Oh, and by the way, Mike, you've got to manage the staff and do everything to lift this brand while going through a global pandemic. Good luck with that.
And there's not going to be any sports that are going to be played.
Right.
Great.
I mean, how would you describe the first 5 months?
A learning experience. And, you know, like all of us, we're all just adapting and you know, we're trying to follow the bouncing ball as, you know, all the different information changes every day, and we should do this and we shouldn't do that. And, you know, there's going to be sports, there's not going to be sports. And you learn a lot about yourself during times like this. And, you know, I actually believe that even though, to your point, Jason, that this, you know, this is not at all how I could have even have imagined starting a new job working for, you know, this great little company, Good Karma Brands, that is all about their people and relationships. And you know, Craig Karmazin and Steve Politziner have done such a great job with this company. And that's a big reason why I came here. It's a big reason why I left the number one sports station in America in 98.5 The Sports Hub, was because I believe in what these guys are doing. But, you know, during this time period, I think it actually has brought all of us closer. And I know that sounds corny. It sounds like just, oh yeah, everybody's saying that, you know, stay apart, but stay together. You know, it's the drinking game that's going on right now.
Almost sounds like you've been writing advertising for clients.
Right. By the way, if you play that drinking game, you're going to get snickerdoodled real fast, because every time somebody says we're all in this together, these unprecedented times, you have to take a drink.
Right. Yeah,
it doesn't take long. But to answer your question, I mean, I feel like in a very, very weird, obviously this whole thing is weird, a very, very weird way, we have bonded. Like, the bonding process with all of us not working together for very long and just getting to know each other, like, that has been accelerated, you know, to the extreme. Like, I feel like I've worked with everybody here, and these guys are my teammates, and we've been together for years. It's crazy to think that way, but You know, overall, obviously, I wish that none of this would have happened, and for many, many reasons, and for all the people that have been sick and everything, and for those that have died from this crazy thing. But all things considered, I think that it has brought us closer.
You know, you've always had a great bond with programming people, but now you've got to establish that same connection with people on the business side who are selling the product. And right now, especially more than ever, you know, they're going through days and weeks where every time they answer the phone, they're terrified of picking it up because it might be another cancellation, or it might be, hey, we're going to suspend for a month and we'll come back next month, especially given the fact that right now you can't even be around your staff all the time. And so just put yourself in that salesperson's shoes dealing with all this stress while the advertising business goes through some decline. It's starting to come back a little bit right now. How do you help your salespeople when they're going through this? You know, they want to hit their numbers, obviously, but just keeping them mentally sharp and confident, because so much of confidence is lost when you continue to get hit.
A lot of happy hours, a lot of virtual happy hours.
So the answer to all of life's problems is drink.
Come on, man. How long have you known me?
Oh, yeah.
I think that it's all about relationships. When you start talking about, you know, the sales side of the industry, it's all about those relationships that they have. And you know, we have done some very fun trivia contest and happy hours and stuff like that with our partners. And you just have to be there, and you have to listen, and you have to really understand that, you know, now is maybe not the time to say, hey, and you know, how about that investment of yours? You know, but if you're there for them and you really try to understand what they're going through, because they're probably going through a lot of the same things that you are, that's going to pay off in the long run.
Speaking of sales, came up with a really cool idea. It's one that probably every radio station should be doing. You started a on-air campaign to reward one local business with $50,000 worth of advertising with ESPN Chicago. How'd the idea come about, and what's the response been so far?
Debbie Brown, our VP of marketing for Good Karma Brands, she's based out of Nashville, but she also is our local marketing director here in Chicago. So I talked to Debbie multiple times a day, and this was Debbie's brainchild. And it kind of came from a few different ideas that were being kicked around. Again, you know, just like you were saying, like, how do you manage through this, and what are the best ways to try to, you know, come out on top and all that. And this was really Debbie's idea to say, let's give away a $50,000 advertising campaign to one local business. And it had to be a true local business, like less than 30 employees. They had to be around for at least 2 years. It's like trying to get a Marconi. They had to write a 300-word essay to us and go to our website and do that and submit that. And I tell you, some of the entries that we have received so far are just unbelievable. Just, you know, you really find out how resilient we are as people. And some of these things are gut-wrenching. It's like the story I just told you about the listener, the fan, you know, calling from Walgreens and paying with change, and people just trying to make ends meet. And so I really got to give credit to Debbie. And then, of course, you know, Craig Karmazin for, you know, saying, yes, we should definitely do this. We'll be up in the, you know, 40 to 50 range as far as the number of small businesses that are trying to win this contest, but ultimately thrive tomorrow.
You were just talking a little while ago about, you know, trying to be there and listen to your salespeople, and you're trying to connect with this new programming team and doing so during a pandemic. So all this stuff is lining up against you. And by the way, during this, one of your most important personalities on the air, Mark Silverman, Sylvie as many know him, was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He's since been undergoing treatment to get past the disease. But right now, you've also got to be a friend, a boss, and, you know, ultimately try to be there for him while he's going through things and not take your eye off of that either. So how do you make sure you set enough time to stay in touch with someone as important as that while still running the operation, dealing with corporate, dealing with sales, dealing with programming, and putting out fires?
Silvy deserves all the credit. I mean, he is so strong. It's unbelievable. I mean, from the beginning, and you know, he's open with the fans on his show. He's always talked about his life, and he's been open on the show about this. And he was very open with me. Again, somebody who, you know, he's only known for a few months. He told me, like, I was one of the first people to know outside of, you know, his wife and his family. And it's like, wow, you know, I can't believe how positive you are about this. And you know, from the very beginning, he didn't want people to say, I'm sorry. He just said, you know, we got this. You know, we're going to fight this and we got it. And that's been his attitude. It's been unbelievable. And again, you know, to go back to what we were just talking about with becoming closer to somebody, you know, I feel like Sylvie and I have become very close through this, and it's not because of me, it's because of him and being so open about what's going on in his life. And, obviously we support him, you know, 100%, and he's got a tough fight ahead of him, but, boy, I feel good because he is just so positive about this whole thing.
You need guys like that to have success. You've been fortunate that not only do you have a lot of those top-line guys in Chicago, but you had them in Boston as well with Felger and Maz, Zone Bertrand, Toucher and Rich. Obviously, I'm sure you keep tabs on what's going on in Boston. You spent a lot of time building the hub into a ratings machine for CBS. Then it was Beasley. My question to you is, what did you sprinkle in the meters in Boston, or who at Nielsen did you give extra Patriots tickets to? Because if you saw the April numbers, they look a lot different than the rest of the sports format right now. So what's your trick? Because their numbers are going up during the pandemic.
It's amazing when Tom Brady goes to Tampa Bay, right? I mean, look, those guys are great. And I was so, so fortunate to work with all of them for so many years, for a decade of my career. I've said it over and over again. I've said it to you, Jason, and I truly mean it. I mean, those guys made me look smarter than I am. They're very, very talented. And I feel the same way about the guys here. And you know, the Last Dance example here is, you know, proof of that. Like, all these people that they had on this incredible list of guests over the past 5 weeks, that wasn't me. That's the producers and the hosts working, you know, we go to talk about relationships, working their relationships. And I think that's such an important part of any success, is just surrounding yourself with very, very talented people. And I've been very, very lucky to do that.
Equally as important is having the right corporate support behind you. You work for CBS in Boston, Beasley in Boston. You're now with Good Karma. And now, you know, Good Karma is still a new relationship. It's been less than 6 months, so you're still getting a feel. But from what you've seen so far, how would you compare, you know, similarities and differences between those three companies?
Well, with CBS, obviously, it was a big, big company. But we had, again, great, great people, you know, Chris Olivero, who I was so happy 2 weeks ago, to see the news that he's coming back to our industry. You know, for somebody like that to not be, in our industry, that was a blow. And so to see him come back as the market manager in New York City, and be working with, you know, Mark Chernoff, who we all love, and everybody else there at the Fan. I mean, it just that is so great. So, you know, obviously a much different atmosphere with CBS, but yet there was a tight group of people inside that big company that made it feel smaller. And then with Beasley, they were fantastic, and picking up the Sports Hub, you know, that was such an amazing move for Caroline and Brian and Bruce. And that was an excellent learning experience and a great experience working with the Beasleys. I had known about them for a long time and had heard good things about their company. And then to see how they didn't come in and try to do anything with the Sports Hub, like, oh, we need to fix this. No, they're smart. And they knew that, hey, we, we have a pretty good thing going here. And we were 8 years into it at the time when they took over, and they knew that, hey, you guys just keep doing your thing. And that was fantastic. And the station obviously continues to be, you know, just unbelievable. And that's for many, many reasons. And then to come here and to work with Craig Karmazin and Steve Politziner and Evan Cohen and all the leadership team here at Good Karma is completely different than anything that I've ever experienced before. And I mean that in the most positive way. The culture is what I always heard about with Good Karma. That starts at the top, and just the environment that they have built with this company. It's no surprise that you have this group of people that have worked here since Craig started it in 1997. And it's all about the culture, the people, getting the most out of everybody. It's unbelievable. I mean, this is a great company to be part of.
And you're at a great radio station in a great market that's definitely been competitive for a long time. You just came from probably one of the most intense competitive markets in the format. So far, from what you've seen, how is Chicago similar and different from a, you know, competitive standpoint versus Boston?
Well, it's a great sports town. I mean, you've heard, you know, my friend Mitch Rosen say that. You know, we've got a pretty good competition going here. As I heard Mitch on your podcast talk about, you know, it's an unusual situation with two AM sports stations.
Yep.
But they're, you know, they're usually side by side as far as, you know, performance goes. And, you know, overall, this is not going to be a surprise to you. People are not as angry in Chicago mm-hmm. as they are on the East Coast. And so, you know, people are just nicer here. And I'm a Midwest guy, and I've been away from the Midwest for a long time. But yeah, I mean, I think that's one big difference. I mean, they're still passionate. The passion's still there, but they're not kicking and screaming over Tim Tebow here. So,
you know, right now the ratings are obviously going to be a little off given the listener behavior, the meter activity. This pandemic has thrown a lot of things out of whack. But as you alluded to, it is a great sports market. There have been a lot of fun stories to report over the last 4 or 5 years that I've been doing this back and forth between the two brands. I'm sure if I'm Mitch right now, I want Cubs baseball back tomorrow because I love that cum that I get from, you know, March, April till September, October. I know you are a Cubs fan, so you probably want it back just to watch the games and drink. But that being said, I'm sure you don't want to look at the cum boost for them either. So where do you stand on that? Do you like the lack of games right now and that it's making things a little more even? Or do you like the fact that, you know, baseball gets back and people at least have something to look forward to at night?
We need the return of sports. That's the most important thing for all of us. I mean, for our sanity, not just for our business, but sports is good for all of us. I mean, sport, you know, we need something to cheer for right now. We need some victories. We need something to kind of take our mind off of the other scoreboard that we see on the news channels every day. And that's the most important thing. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, there's part of me that's like, oh, well, they're going to get a huge boost when the games resume. But then there's the other part of me, to your point, that just wants to watch the games and drink. So that is something that we all need right now.
And it makes for better on-air conversation, too, for your guys, which we all definitely, at the end of the day, that's going to be what's important. I do want to ask you one last business thing, because I remember you bringing this up in Chicago at the summit a while back, and it was on the future of marijuana as a advertising category on sports radio. And there's been some reluctance from a lot of the big players. With what's going on right now with this pandemic and the way advertising is kind of declined because of it, do you think radio becomes a little more open to that kind of advertising going forward?
You know, until the federal government says it's okay, that's when we'll see things change. I mean, look, we're still governed by the FCC, and, you know, even though it's legal here in Illinois, and, you know, there's millions of dollars now, you know, coming into the economy here locally, just like in Massachusetts right before I left, it was legal for about a year.
Yep.
You know, look, I the world is changing. I mean, I know for a long time we said, oh, marijuana will never be legalized, you know, that will never happen. And now it's happening state by state. And the same thing happened, and this goes back to that conversation that you were referring to at the first summit, you know, with gambling. And oh, you know, when is gambling going to be legal? Well, now it's, you know, again, state by state. And so I think that because we are licensed by the federal government, until we get approval that it's okay to accept some of that business, and that's going to be a tough putt.
I think at some point these governments, especially with so many of them losing money right now, are going to start looking at different options. You know, the vote no on mobile betting might turn to a vote yes because of the revenue that could be there. The marijuana, as you're touching on it, you know, it is a different world than the one I'm used to in radio. I can't believe that in 2020, 22, 3 years after my career started, this would never have been a conversation 2 decades ago. But we're in different times, and, you know, different times you got to find different ways to survive. And if the industry can grow, I guess, you know, the government has to look at it. And at the end of the day, if we can make our owners some money and our fans are going to do it anyway, what the hell's the harm, right?
That's right. And look, we know that because of this pandemic, there's going to be so many things in our world that are going to change forever. I mean, this is going to change so much. I mean, you're seeing companies like Twitter saying our employees don't need to come back to the office. You know, I saw a survey a few weeks ago about, and it was small, but it was a survey of businesses that it said we were always against letting our employees work from home because we didn't think that they would be productive. And now, weeks into this thing, months into this thing, those same companies, 50% of them are saying, you know what, we're going to probably change our thinking on that. And we're going to probably let our employees work from home. So there's going to be a lot of things that are going to change. And to your point about the marijuana and, you know, rules and everything, we may need, you know, for things to open up even more so that we can get back to it.
He's the market manager of ESPN 1000 in Chicago, one of the best programming minds in the business. He is Mike Thomas. It's great hearing your voice. Let's stay in touch and keep in touch if you need anything.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, my friend. I can't wait till the next day that you and I can get together and hoist a beer, too.